come at this time.
That's Bethel's gospel air.
Amen. Have a therefore opportunity. Can we get this piano, Mike? Judges, the third chapter this morning, the book of Judges, and I want to preach a message I preached back earlier in the spring in a revival, and I have to say that I owe my outline to Brother Shock, and Brother Shock's going to be with us this year, thank the Lord. He'll be here all through the Jubilee, him and his wife, and we'll be looking forward to hearing them My wife, this morning, she come in the kitchen. I was sitting there at the table, and she said, I don't see how you do that. I said, what's that? She said, well, keep on every Sunday preaching and bringing messages every Sunday for 34 years. And, of course, the answer to that is the Lord. But the preacher, he reads the Bible. The way he gets messages, he reads the Bible. I remember a young preacher that was out of our church years ago, and he took a church, and he was worried about running out of sermons. And I told him, I said, well, if you read the Bible and pray and read good books and listen to other preachers, I said, the meal barrel won't never run empty. There'll always be something in there for another message. And so that's the truth. I heard Joe Offer preach a great message on the eye of the storm. And before he preached that night, he said, I must say, he said, I've got messages from many places. He said, I've got them from books. I've got them from listening to sermon CDs. And he said, I got this message from the Weather Channel. And he said, every now and then I get one from God. And so it is a search. You read, you listen, you look around, you pray. My pastor many years ago, it's in heaven now, but he told me one time, and I took it as a compliment. He said, Brother Rick, I appreciate your search. You're always in search for the truth, always in search for a thought. But whenever I do use someone else's thought, I do like to give them the credit. And God uses many people to pass truth through. I've about come to the realization that there is nothing original.
Yes.
I preached the other day, I preached a message on smoke signals, and I thought it was an original one. The Lord gave it to me, I read it. It was original to me, but I found out in the weeks to follow that it had been preached a lot of times in a lot of different ways. So I've come up with this conclusion that if we're men of God, and we're reading the Word of God, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. We all have the same God, the same book, and the same Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We're going to come up a lot with the same stuff.
Amen.
If we preach the truth. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so the book of Judges this morning, and we're going to begin our reading in verse number 14 of chapter 3. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, and Eliahud, the son of Gerai, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubic length, and he did gird it upon his raiment and upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silent. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the half also went in after the blade, and the fat closed in upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to, Lord, to try to stand and preach the Word of God. We know, Lord, without the touch of the Master's hand, that, Lord, it's all sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We know all truth, Lord, originates from God. And, Lord, we thank you for the truth that we find in the Word of God. And, Lord, all the different ways that you help us to find truth. I pray this morning that you'll take this message and, Lord, you'll use it for your glory, the furtherance of your kingdom, to speak to us, Lord, from the pages of the Word of God. We thank you for all that's here. We pray for those that are not here, and pray for those that are not able to be here. And Lord, we ask this morning if there was someone here today that's lost, that Lord, that they might get a message today from God, and they might respond to that message in a positive way, And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you do. We do ask you, Lord, for perfect present cleansing in the blood this morning. Thank you for saving us, keeping us clean. The promise that, Lord, one day soon, maybe today, Lord, the call will come and we'll go. And we look forward, Lord, to that day when you come. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the Word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. This book got its name from the 13th man that's raised up to deliver Israel. We call this book Judges. And there were different judges that God gave to Israel. And Eliahud is one of the judges. He's the second judge that we read about this morning. And as we read that the children of Israel had served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years, that they had been in somewhat of bondage because of their sins and their turning away from God. But in verse 15, the Bible said, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed." Now you might make a note there that when God wants to get something done, He always gets a left-handed man. Amen. I am left-handed. And so we look here, and God sent this man, and Ehud, He made him a dagger which had two edges. Now this is type of the Word of God. Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing sunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart."
Yes.
And so the Bible is a two-edged sword. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a two-edged sword. And so we find that Eliahud comes down, and he goes down to this king, who is a very fat man, the Bible says. And he goes down there, and after he gets everyone out, he thrusts in this dagger into his belly. And so that's the type of the Word of God that went in.
Amen.
And the Bible said that when that went in, the Bible said that the fat closed in upon the blade. When God puts the Word of God in your heart, you may get away from the preacher, you may leave the church, but that Word of God's in there to stay. And God will continue to use that.
Yes.
And then the Bible says that when that went in, the dirt came out. Again, a picture of the Word of God. When the Word of God goes in, when we are in the Word of God, and the Word of God goes in, then the dirt comes out. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Amen. And so Jesus said, "Now you clean through the Word." And so it's the Word of God that makes us clean. But we look here this morning, and I want to call your attention this morning to verse number 20 in the last part of that verse, where the Bible said, "Eliahud said to Eglon, I have a message from God unto thee."
Hallelujah.
I have a message from God unto thee. Now, we're living in a day and an hour where that everyone this morning is very familiar with what we call text messages. I'm sure if I asked how many people had a phone with them this morning, that you'd probably be a lot of people raise one up and say, "I've got one." And one of the new things that has come along in technology is that we do texting. We send a message to people. And it seems like everybody's got into this texting thing. We're doing a lot more texting now than we are talking. And so we see that as all things, God is always way ahead of man. We see that nothing's new with God. Man comes along 1,000, 2,000 years later, and he picks it up, and he is excited and says, "I found something new." So people think, well, this text message is a new thing. No, it's not new. You see, when a preacher preaches, he says, "I'm going to take my text." He said, "I'm going to take my text from a certain place." We realize that the Bible is a textbook. The Bible is full of texts this morning. There's all kinds of text messages in the Bible that God has sent to you and God has sent to me.
Amen.
We see that Eglon said that he was told by Ehud, he said, "God has a message for you. Did you know that if you and I had been an attentive this week to the Word of God as we was to our fold, then God would have had some messages for you and some messages for me. The Lord has a textbook full of messages that He sent here just for you and just for me. Amen. Let me just say this morning that God has a text message for every sinner. Now we all have been sinners. We all are sinner by nature. But some of us have been saved by the grace of God. So we're saved sinners this morning. Where we still sometimes mess up. But we're saved by the grace of God. I like what one writer said. He said, Christians are not sinless, but they should be practicing on sinning less. And that's true this morning. Amen. That is true. And so we find in John 3 and verse 7 this morning, we find that God has a message for the sinner. John 3 and 7 said, "And marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." God sends a text message to every sinner this morning, and God says you must be born again. Must be born again for what? Well, you must be born again if you want to go to heaven. You must be born again if you don't want to go to heaven. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. Nicodemus said, "Lord," he said, "I know that you're a teacher come from God." And he started all this stuff that I'm sure he's very sincere about. And God told him, "Except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. Now I want to say this morning that though we're all sinners, there's different types of sinners. There is what we would call a religious sinner. That's Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, an Old Testament teacher of the Word of God. The Bible said that Nicodemus, even though he was religious, he was still a sinner. This morning, there's a lot of people that are religious this morning. They go to church. They belong to the church. They go through rituals. They count beads. They say prayers. They do all these different things. They might go through baptism. They might take the Lord's Supper. They might do all kinds of things. They might light candles. They might go into the baptistry. They might do all kinds of things. But God has a text message for them. And God says you've got to be born again. I tell you, you have to be born again. John Wesley said, "Why do you always preach on you have to be born again?" He said, "Because you have to." Amen. Because you have to. And so there's a religious sinner. I'm sure there's thousands of them in Glasgow this morning. That go to church, that go through motions, but they have really never been born again. Jesus said, "You got to be born again." How did you get into this world? Well, my father's sitting right there. My mother's over in the nursing home. But I'll tell you how I got in this world. I was birthed in this world when I got here. I'll tell you how you'll get in the next world. You'll have to be birthed in the kingdom of God. You'll have to be born again. You'll have to be saved. I want to tell you that first birth, I don't have a lot of recollection of it. I seem like I remember somebody jerked me up and slapped me a little bit. But I don't have a lot of recollection of it. But I want to say this. I don't remember a lot about it, but I'm here. I want to tell you this morning what little I knew about it. I was told by somebody else. Let me say this morning that you may not remember everything about your spiritual birth, but thank God you're here this morning. I tell you, when a baby's born, about all it does is cry. That's about all it does. And that's the way most people are when they get born again. About all it does is cry. But as you grow older, you learn more about the experience. Amen. So that's the way it is, Brother Eddie. But there's not only religious sinners, but there's what we call moral sinners. There was a young man, the Bible said, that came running to the Lord. And he said, "Lord," he said, "what must I do He said, Lord, to enter into heaven, Jesus said, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All these things, he said. And that young man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Well, I guess he was a pretty good moral young man. But the Bible says that Jesus told him, go sell all that you've got, give to the poor, take up your cross and come and follow me. Yeah. He said, and so he was morally good, but he was still a sinner. And Jesus told him what he'd have to do. And he turned and went away grieved, the Bible said, because he was sad at that saying. Amen.
Right.
Amen. There's what we call a sinful sinner.
Yeah.
Of course, all sinners sin. But in John 4, there's a woman there. And she's had several husbands. She's now living with a man that's not her own.
Amen.
And when Jesus, she come to the Lord, now where he was sitting on the well, and she said, Lord, he said, give me a drink of water. She said, the Samaritans and Jews, they don't have no dealings with each other.
Right.
Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for water.
Amen.
And he said, I'd give you a drink of water.
Amen.
And he said, you'd never thirst again. She said, Lord, give me that water.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice this morning that in each case, Jesus dealt differently with each individual.
That's right.
With Nicodemus, he didn't say, go get you wives. He didn't say that. With Nicodemus, he said, you're a ruler of Israel and you don't know these things.
Oh,
he dealt with him from a religious standpoint.
That's right.
This man that came, this moral sinner that was rich, he didn't deal with him like he did Nicodemus.
Right.
Tell about how the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. But with him, he said, go sell all you got. Why?
Yeah.
His problem was his money.
Right.
Amen.
His problem was his money. Nicodemus' problem was his religion.
Yes, right.
But this woman, he said, go call your husband. She
right.
said, Lord, don't have one. He said, you have several.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
The one you got now is not your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her problem was her husband's.
Right.
The Lord always deals with you and works with you and comes to you on the terms of what your problem is.
That's right.
Amen. I've heard people say, well, I never did drink a drop of alcohol all my life. Well, that wasn't your problem.
Right.
But the Lord may have dealt with you about lying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Lord may have dealt with you about stealing.
Amen. Right.
One thing about it, there's something in all of us that the Lord has to deal with.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we all have a problem. So the Lord has a text message for the sinner, and he says, you must be born again.
Amen.
Now look in Matthew 11, 28, if you would, please. Jesus has a text message for the person that's stressed. There's a lot of them today.
Yeah, brother.
Right.
Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah, he will.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest on your souls.
Yeah,
for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Yeah, amen.
Right.
Now, here's a text message in the Word of God from the person that's stressed. Boy, we have so many folks in the world today that are heavy laden. We have so many folks in the world today that are stressed about life itself. And certainly life can be stressful this morning. But the Lord has a text message for us.
Yeah.
The Lord says in Matthew 11, the Lord sent a text that the Lord said, come unto me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah,
take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If I'm meek, lowly in heart, you shall find rest on your soul.
Amen.
We look at this morning. We see today that people are running to and fro.
Yeah.
Well, you get on the interstate, and I mean, it's a constant flow of people.
Yeah.
And even going across our little old town here in Glasgow, sometimes it takes 30 minutes to get across town anymore, it seems like.
Amen.
Everybody seems to be going somewhere. Everybody's in a hurry this morning.
Amen.
Everybody's in such a hurry, they're all stressed out. And that's why that sometimes we forget things.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
I left the house this morning, I'm in a hurry. I wasn't gone 10 minutes, and I come back in. My wife was grinning. She always grins. Why? Because every time I leave the house, I come back 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Just about every time. She said, what'd you forget this time? I said, well, I forgot to take my medicine this morning. And so I come back in and took my medicine. But the reason I forgot it, Brother Marty, I was in too big a hurry. You'll see a lot of us in this world in which we're living, we're in too big a hurry.
Amen.
Can I tell you, the devil wants us that way.
Yeah.
You know what he's doing this morning? He's running to and fro.
Yeah.
He's running to and fro.
Yeah.
I've kind of distanced myself some in the last year or so. And something will come on my mind and I'll say, I've got to get this done. For God to do this. It seems like the Holy Spirit's been helping with it. You'd say, you've got to have that done today.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
Yeah. And I get thinking about it, Brother Nathan. There ain't nothing got to be done today.
Yeah.
I got plenty of stuff does need to be done today.
Right.
But this can wait till tomorrow or the next week. And so I realize that's the devil.
Yeah. Right.
He's trying to get me so caught up doing things that's a month off that I forget to do what I need to do today.
Amen.
He keeps us too busy to pray.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We run to and fro and find ourselves at the end of the day doing what we should have done at the beginning of the day. And the reason we didn't is because we're so stressed out and in such a rush, a mad rush, that we feel like we just don't have time.
Amen.
Or we're just wore out. We're too tired. Amen.
Amen.
I talked to the ladies auxiliary Wednesday night. And I brought this in about Martha and Mary, Luke 10, 38, down through there, where the Martha and Mary, you remember Martha, she was clumbered about much service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told them, I like what Sidlow Baxter said. Somebody asked him, said, Sidlow, said, do you like Martha best or Mary best? He said, well, he said, if I'm going to church, I like Mary.
Yeah, right.
But he said, if I'm going to eat supper, I want Martha.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way it is. You go down to the house of God, you want people that want to worship, people that want to love on Jesus. Amen. But Martha was clumbered about much serving.
Yeah, man.
I've been preaching a lot here lately about servanthood and serving. And I say this is right. You see, he's our master, we're the servant.
Right.
So I don't call the Lord on Monday morning and say, Lord, I'm here and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do today. This is what I'll do.
Right. Yep.
No, I report and I say, Lord,
yes.
I'm your servant. What would you have me to do?
Yep.
What do you want me to do today?
Amen.
You see, we get so busy doing a lot of the things that the Lord ain't even told us to do.
Right.
That's why we get wore out.
Yes,
that's why we're stressed out. Because we're doing things the Lord ain't even told us to do.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Lord said, my yoke's easy, my burden's light.
Amen.
Well, I thought about that at the end of some weeks when I'm wore out, stressed out, and just completely had it. And I think, boy, I must not be hooked up with the Lord. Because he said his burden was easy.
Yes.
And his load was light, so I must be doing a whole lot of stuff that ain't got nothing to do with the Lord.
Yes,
right.
I believe, Brother Rocky, when we follow the Lord and do what he wants us to do, I don't believe we won't be like those people down in Egypt.
Right.
You say, what was they like? Don't you remember? They had taskmasters that put hard burdens on them. They were slave drivers.
Right.
I will tell you, the Lord ain't no slave driver.
Right. Amen. You're right.
Amen.
We serve the Lord, but we're serving. We serve Him as love servants. We serve Him because we love Him. And the Lord ain't going to put so much on you that you just can't go. You can't get it done. If that's happening, it's not the Lord. And we need to realize that. Amen. God has a text message for us. And He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said, my burden's easy and my load is light.
Yeah.
Amen. Some people are worried about serving. You know, there's a lot of people, especially right now, worried about the future. ISIS, earthquakes, this epidemic over in Africa. People worried about all these things. Worried about the future. What's going to happen? Stressed out about the future. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says, take therefore no thought for the
future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord said, don't worry about the future.
Heaven.
You say, why? Because He knows the future.
Yeah.
He knows the end from the beginning.
Heaven.
You know everything's going on right now. Everything going on right now.
Heaven.
God knows about it.
Yes.
Did you know everything going on right now? I don't have to figure out an answer for it. God's done got it in His
hand. Amen.
The Lord said, when you see all these things coming upon the earth, He said, when you see all this coming upon the earth, He said, don't be stressed out. Don't be worried about it. He said, just realize your redemption's drawn nigh.
Amen.
You're getting close to the
glory
of the Lord.
Amen.
I like what one preacher said. He said, well, if they start bombing America, I hope one hits me in the back of pocket and blows me to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the worst thing that can happen to us is we're going to go to heaven.
Right?
We may have to suffer some before we get there.
Right.
But bombs are pretty quick, usually.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God's going to take care of us, and He has the future in His hand. Yes. Isn't it true that the reason we got so many burdens today is because we're way over into the next month, October,
right.
November, December.
Right.
We're thinking about them, and we don't even know if we're going to live through September.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why the Lord said, just worry about today. Amen.
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 That's good preaching, brother.
Yeah. I tell you, a lot of people stressed out about dying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of people can't enjoy living because they're worried about dying.
Right. Oh, man, brother.
Right. Amen.
They're worried every little thing. They think it's cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every little thing. They think it may be a heart attack. Every little thing.
Amen.
Always remember what old Dr. Arnold said. He's 102 year old, still living today. When he was 26 year old. I think it was two or three doctors diagnosed him and told him that he was going to die. He only had a short time to live. And they were probably right, but he went home and he said he got down and prayed. And he said, God, if you let me live. He said, God, I'll preach the gospel for you if you let me live. Well, he's 102 this morning. He said, all them doctors that said he only had days to live, they're all dead. They're all dead and he's still alive. Amen. Here's what he told me up there in my office one day. He said, Brother Rick, he said, people ask me, why, how did you get to live to be so old? He said, well, I just quit trying to die every day.
Amen.
I said, what do you mean? He said, I quit worrying about every little old bump, every little old pain. I quit worrying about it. I just started living.
Yeah.
But you know, you can get so worried about dying, you can't enjoy the living that you got to do right now.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe this morning for the Christian, dying's that's not what's hard.
Yes,
right.
What's hard is living.
Amen.
Going through every day, the problems, the hospitals,
yep.
The things we have to put up with, that's what's hard.
Right.
But dying's not hard.
Amen.
Right.
You say, have you ever been with people that die? I've been with many people that die.
Yeah.
Sometimes they struggle for a few days. In rare cases, maybe a week. But most people, when they die, I notice they just quit breathing.
Yeah.
Right.
1 minute they're here, the next minute they're gone.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Dying is nothing to get stressed out about, but if you're a child of God, because
yes, right.
The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk.
Amen.
Yeah.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters for His name's sake. He restored my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me.
Yes.
Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah,
Thou anointest my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
The Lord said, I'll be with you when you go through the valley of the shadow of death.
That's right.
I will be with you. You say, well, Brother Rick, right now, I'm a little bit afraid of dying. That's because you're not dying this morning.
Amen.
That's right.
If you was dying this morning, you'd have dying grace.
You're right, Brother Rick.
Amen. Brother McCurry told about a family come to his church, and their mother was scared to death of dying. And every time they'd go see her at the hospital, they wouldn't hardly get home. The phone rang, and she'd be scared and afraid she was going to die. And finally, they called Brother McCurry to go see her, and he went down to see her. And he said, what's wrong with you, sister? And she said, well, I'm scared to die. He said, well, since you've been scared now for quite a while of dying and you ain't died yet. She said, but I'm scared. And he said, well, the reason you're scared now, he said, you're not dying. But he said, when you really come down to really dying, he said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I've been saved for a while. He said, well, when you really come down to dying, God will give you dying grace.
Yeah, well.
He said, you won't be afraid, but you don't need it today because you're not dying today.
Yeah, right.
Amen. He said she got a little bit aggravated, but then she went ahead and swallowed the truth and never did have no more problem. And then she died and went on home to be with the Lord. See, it's all the devil. He wants to stress this out. God has a text message for the sinner. You need to be born again. God has a text message for the worker, for the one that's all stressed out. We need to hear that because we're going to begin about 4 days of service here in a little while.
Right?
Amen. Just about 4 days of working and trying to get some things done. Don't get stressed out. Amen. Don't let the devil get you all stressed out. We'll get it done. It'll all work out fine. Amen. But you see, when the devil gets you all stressed out, then that's when problems come. That's when you have fusses. That's when you have fights. When you get all stressed out.
Amen.
You get tired, go sit down somewhere. We'll get it done. Amen. Don't fret about it. Well, you can fret so much about 4 little days of meeting that you won't enjoy a single bit of it.
Amen.
The Lord said, don't worry about it. Now, most here this morning, I would say, are saints this morning. God has a text message for the saint.
Glory to God.
It's found over in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
Wherefore, take unto thee the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God has a text message.
Yeah.
The Saint of God.
Yeah.
Can I just say this right here? We have so many people, you know, especially young people, that are into texting. I do text some, but I don't text a lot. And for one reason, I have trouble spelling. They couldn't read it if I sent it to them. Mine's so bad that it don't even know how to correct it itself. That's a question mark. Don't understand what you're saying. And so I don't do a lot, but I know young people, boy, they do a lot of texting. Amen. I should say, you be careful about it because there is a temptation in it.
Yeah.
Right. You say, what kind of temptation? Well, like right now, somebody may be, some young person over here may be texting somebody over there. Wish to you hush.
Amen.
You're not supposed to text at all in church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you come to church, you're not talking to somebody else. God's supposed to be talking to you. God has a text message for you. So there's a temptation there. Amen. Then let me say this, that sometimes in the texting, you know, it's a good thing, but like all good things, the devil gets in it.
Go ahead.
And now, a lot of young people, you know, they have this texting, and some old people, but they have this texting, and now they call it sexting.
Right.
They take pictures of themselves and send it to each other. I will tell you, young people, listen. The thing about that texting is once it gets out there, once this gets on the internet, it's out there. You may have to live with it the rest of your life.
Amen.
See, the thing I don't like about it, especially when young people, is they can sit on the couch and they talk and say stuff they should never say.
Right.
They're sitting there right by them and you don't realize what they're saying.
Right.
Never.
Now, if they're on the phone, I know what they're saying.
Amen. Yeah.
But I wonder how many young people sit in the presence of their mother and their father. Yeah. Or maybe their grandparents and their texting things that they know that if they're sitting out loud, they'd be in trouble. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They'd be in trouble. And then what I really don't like about texting is if I come to Brother Nathan and I say something to Brother Nathan, he can look at my face and he knows what I mean.
Exactly.
By the expression of my face, by the sound of my voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But you can't get that in text.
That's right.
Amen.
Somebody sends something, they may mean it totally one way.
Yes.
And you take it totally another way.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. That once it's on there, it's on there.
Right.
You see, in these court cases now, a lot of times they'll retrieve the messages. I talk to some people that know people that have gotten in a problem and wound up in divorce, and they say, "So how did they find out?" They said they went and retrieved all of their text messages. That's how they found out about
right.
it. And you see, what I'm saying is there's a deception there, and there's a bondage there.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Amen, brother.
You say, what's the bondage? Here's the bondage.
That's right.
When you had your phone on the wall, you didn't stand there and look at it all day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wait for it to rain.
Right.
We didn't do that. But now that we got these, we have to come by here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Check it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we forget it, oh my God, I forgot my
father. Amen.
Well said.
If we lose it, it's about a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's a thing like the devil. This is the devil, folks.
Yeah.
No matter how good that something is, no matter how many benefits that thing has, the devil will find a way to make it bad. The devil will find a way to get us into bondage to that thing.
Amen. Amen.
That's good preaching, Brother Rick.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time we pass the Bible?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Yeah, the most earnest.
I wonder if God said anything else. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Hallelujah, brother.
I mean, this is bondage to this thing. We just couldn't pass it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we left the house and said, oh my God, I left my Bible.
Amen, brother. That's good, brother.
Amen.
How true that is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
God's got a message for the saints.
Yeah, we let it slip.
And God says, you better put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, goes from the preacher all the way down to the person just got saved the other day.
Right.
Well, we're a match for the devil.
That's right.
So we're a match. Don't ever let him give you that lie. Oh, you don't have to worry about this stuff. You've been saved. You've been serving God. That'll never happen to you.
Right.
Hey, we need to be where we need to be. We need to work and realize that anything that could have happened a week after we got saved can still happen after we've been saved 35
years.
You're right.
The devil's got his way. None of us are that strong, amen. That's why we need the Lord. That's why he said, be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Of his mind, amen.
Amen.
On the whole armor of God, there's an enemy out there.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's all there's a battle going on out there. You aren't that.
Yeah.
It's a battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
God has a text message, and God says, remember, there's a battle out there. Put on the whole armor of God.
That's right.
So you can stand against what's coming against you.
That's right.
And then he tells us in verse 13, put it on that you might be able to stand. I want to finish, don't you?
Right, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
Sister Peggy mentioned about finishing this morning in Sunday school. And I want to finish.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's important how you start.
Right.
If you start wrong, you'll probably end up wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't want to underemphasize the importance of a good start. But it's also very important how we finish.
Amen.
Amen. Make sure we finish well.
Yeah.
And to do that, we've got to have all the armor of God on.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Steve was talking about preachers that messed up. Well, he wouldn't talk about it. He was just telling about some other people was talking about it. And, boy, I like what Billy Graham said. He was on the Larry King Live, and Jimmy Swaggart had just failed. And Larry King, of course, he's an atheist. Larry King said, he asked Billy Graham, he said, well, what'd you think about Brother Swaggart falling? Boy, I like what Billy Graham said. You see what he say? He said, well, he said, Larry, he said, it's like this. He said, this morning, there were planes that took off in thousands of places. And he said, most of them all got their people where they're supposed to go and made it safely. But he said, you didn't hear about them.
Yeah.
But he said, if one crashed today, you heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, wow.
Yeah.
What wisdom, amen.
It is both.
My, if we can, if they hear about them, Brother Steve, that failed, and we don't diminish that, the fall of them falling, we should try to restore them.
Yeah.
We should pray for them.
Yeah.
Oh, we should pray that God lift them back up again. And all of that. But I want to say, wouldn't it be wonderful if people stood at the top, sat around, Dale and Dales or sat around Matt and Mildred and talked about all them old preachers that was bound and lived God and served God and died preaching a word of God.
Amen.
We heard about all them, thank God.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick. Somebody said, well, an old preacher, he messed up and failed. They'll say this, I thought he was a good preacher.
Man, I like that.
And I always say this, he probably was.
Yes, right.
Right.
That's the kind the devil really wants.
Right.
Amen. So we say this, God has a message for the sinner, a text message for the stressed, a text message for the saint of God.
Amen.
God has a text message for the servant of God.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I said Wednesday night, Thursday night, a lot of people want to say, I'm saved. I wish as many people would want to say, I'm a servant.
Yes.
Right.
To God.
Right.
God has a text message. You say, where is it? Luke 19:13. You say, what does it say? It says this. You can look at it there, but it says this. Occupy till I come.
Amen.
Occupy till I come. Amen. What am I supposed to do till Jesus comes? Just keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Just keep preaching. Just keep telling people about the Lord. Just keep praying. Just keep coming to the house of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what I'm doing. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Yeah. Occupy till He comes, and He will come.
Yeah.
Hey.
Occupy. Occupy that seat God's given you at Bethel Baptist Church. Just feel it. Amen.
Yeah.
Occupy that Sunday school class God's given you. Just keep on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Rick, it's sometimes hard. I know it is. When I worked at Donna's for 23 years, I'd go through periods of time and I'd cry, especially on Sunday night after working about 2 in the morning on Saturday and going home, trying to get a few hours sleep, coming over here and preaching on Sunday morning, preach again Sunday night, Sunday service is over, change clothes and go back to work. And I'll tell you this, sometimes I literally wept on the way in.
Bless you, Lord.
Lord, I just need some help here, Lord. And I mean, but I loved it. I loved my job and I liked the second color. Bill might say wasn't no good at it, but I liked good at it. I liked working out there. I liked my friends out there. I liked doing all that. But I tell you, there come times and Bill was my boss there for a while and he's always good to me. Of course, you know Bill, he's always playing a trick on me every now and then. And he's good to me. I liked going in and fellowship with the guys and being there. I liked it, but Brother Nathan, there'd come a time. And boy, I'd just rather take a beating after going there.
Yeah.
I wasn't quit. Hey, I got 2 miles to feed and a fast payment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got insurance, car payments. I couldn't just up and quit. I have responsibility, my family. Amen. And so you say, what'd you do? I just trudged on through it.
Amen.
You know what? It wouldn't be a little while to. I'd get up and say, man, I can't wait to get back there and see Bill and them. I can't wait to get back there and just do the job again. I mean, I liked it. I really did. I liked that job. If I could have done that job in the day shift and 5 days a week, I might have still been there if God would have wanted me to be there. But I'm saying I liked it. But what I'm saying is I hit places in my life that it was hard.
Hey,
but I'd go on foot and then it'd get good again.
Amen.
And there's my part that's with his serving God.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Sometimes it gets hard to get sermons.
Right.
Sometimes it gets hard to sing songs. Sometimes it gets hard to do ladies' meetings.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets hard to do a Sunday school class.
Right.
Whatever else you do around here. But if you'll just keep on, it'll get good again.
That's right.
I promise you that. If you'll just keep on, it'll get good
again.
Amen.
The Lord said, occupy till I come. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Hey.
Let me say this. Oh, there's so many people suffering today. Every pastor I talk to, they'll say, preacher, I've never had so many sick people in my church in all my life. I'm talking about preachers who've been at it a long time.
Yeah.
There's so many suffering people. And for 34 years, I go to the nursing home or the hospital weekly, if not daily, many times. And I see people suffer. Many of them are Christian people. Many times it's people that love the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Let me tell you something, folks. We need to kind of prepare our mind a little bit. You know, we get it in our mind, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to go to church. And then Jesus is going to come and I'm going home.
Right.
Sell it, therefore.
That's the way that sometimes we get in our mind it's going to be. And if we don't take time to realize it might be like this. I'm going to serve God. I get some kind of a physical infirmity. I wind up in the nursing home. I'm going to have to lay there in the nursing home for a while. And then Jesus is going to come and get me. You see, when that happens, it won't be such a surprise if we realize that may be the road we have to go.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Now, our blessed hope is that He'll come and we'll be changed in a moment, quick line. We'll be out of here. That's what we hope for.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
But we realize we may have to suffer some.
Right.
Amen. You say, what's the text message for the suffering? God says this. Well, John is a sufferer there on the island of Patmos. He'd been told he'd bore it all, miraculously escaped, exiled on an island there by himself. In every word, that the Lord's with him.
Yeah.
But here's what his prayer was at the end of it all in Revelation 22, 1. He says, and surely I come quickly.
Yes.
He said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Can I tell you there, that's the words of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes.
Revelation 22, that's Jesus saying, surely I come quick.
Yes.
That's a text message for the sufferer. We're not going to be here forever.
Right.
Cancer don't last forever.
Amen.
Right. Diabetes, heart attack, Parkinson's, whatever else you've got, it don't last forever.
Amen. Right.
Jesus is coming for
you.
That's the message that God sends for us. Some people suffer wrongfully, Peter said.
Yeah.
Right.
There's people right now in prison doing time for stuff they didn't really do.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
They may suffer that a long time. They may have to suffer. They're suffering wrongfully.
Yeah.
Right. But the Bible says if you suffer wrongfully and take it well, He said, you have some thankworthiness.
Yeah.
Wonder why that is. Well, I don't know. I kind of thought maybe it's because Jesus, He suffered wrongfully.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to be beaten. Right. He didn't deserve to be nailed to a cross. He didn't deserve to be slapped and spit upon. But He took it well.
Amen,
brother.
Yeah.
We're to follow His example. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Some people are suffering spiritually. This being this hour in which we live, I've never seen so many discouraged pastors and preachers and Christian people that are suffering spiritually.
Amen.
Tough times. Churches splitting, people leaving, getting out of church, people getting into sin, have served God for years. Tough times.
Amen.
Makes us suffer spiritually. I like what he said there, Revelation 3 and 4 to the church at Sardis. He said, thou hast a few names, even in
Sardis.
Amen. We may suffer some in this light on the sea and age we're living in. To say it's like it was 20 years ago would be a lie.
Yeah.
Would be a lie.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wax and gold.
I've preached many times and finished preaching a meeting somewhere. And people would come up to me, an older person would come up, shake my hand, and say, Brother Rick, if you preached that message 20 years ago, these altars would have been full.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you had preached that same message here at this church 30 years ago, ain't going to tell how many of these saved.
Right.
No one even moved.
Right. Amen.
You say, what is it? That's the times we're living in today.
Amen.
It's like it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, they wouldn't beat the door down to try to get in the boat.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Not till it started raining.
Amen.
Amen.
God has a message for us. Hey, I want to finish up. I don't have this in my notes. But I thought about it. And it just almost made me shout when I thought about it. You know, God's got a text message for Satan.
Bro!
Amen.
Amen.
Satan, you got mail.
Yeah.
I say that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I say that hidden behind the cross, behind the blood, behind Jesus Christ.
Yeah, baby.
But if you don't like it, tap him.
Right.
Amen. I learned the hard way. Get under the cross, get under the blood, get under Jesus, get under everything you get under.
Yeah.
Before you attack him.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm covered now. I'm under it all.
Yeah.
Hey, devil. God's got a text message for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, what is it? Here it is. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah,
the brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Amen.
I'm glad he's got mail too, friend. I'm glad this morning. Listen, you got the Bible, God sending messages to you every day.
Amen.
I just hope them up, and God got a text message for you to help you through this world, thank God.
Yeah, mate. That's right.
Amen.
Well, Eli Hudds told Eglon, God's got a message for you.
Yeah.
God's got a message for you and me too, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as the piano player to come this morning. Maybe God sent something your way this morning. You responded. You will respond to it. Come today to the altar. Pray. You mind God this morning. Okay? And what the Lord gives you to do, God's got a message for you. Hey, Brother Rick, I want to get saved this morning. God's got a message. I'll show you how they come down this morning. Say, Brother Rick, I'm backslid. I've been out of church. I'm away from God. God's got a text message for you. I'll show it to you if you come down here this morning. Is there the Bible? Is there that book you brought in with you to repent? Today, God's going to text you this morning.
Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit.
If you're suffering this morning,
I pray that
God's got a word for you, a message for you.
You've received it today.
Father, help us see the morning to hear your word today. Just obey you and what you must do about it.
Lord, there's somebody cold in the way.
Lord, would you be with us? Help us, Lord. We just listen in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Amen.
605.
Oh,
situation. Help us, if you would, to lead us again in prayer for these folks that come on the altar today.
Father, we thank you today for the message, Lord. Surely, God, folks can relate with it today because the pastor's used the subject, Lord, that everybody's familiar with. And Lord, we just pray, God, that they receive your message from heaven today, Lord. Thank you for using the man of God today, Lord. God, these folks that are on the altar have been to the altar. I pray, God, that they found help, Lord, in the time of need. You said you would help us, Lord. I pray, God, today, Lord, every heart's been obedient. I pray, God, today, Father, your will's been done here, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we love you today, Lord. We send us yet another message of the throne of grace. You are Lord, you are praise. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to thank you for being able to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Be able to know the things that I hear, know they're real, know where they come from, know where they proceeded from. And, oh, it's just good. I don't know how to put it in words, but it's just good. I praise the Lord for my church, my preacher. Praise the Lord for God who made all things what they are. It's just been good. It's been good to be
here. All right, somebody else. Yes.
I'm having such a rough time. Losing friends. When you've been there for years, without him,
Right.
I'm so lonely. I feel so alone. I need some prayers.
Amen.
Do it.
God bless you. Miss Margaret will be doing that. Brother Nathan, would you take Marcus, just take about 10 minutes and go through the scriptures there with him before he leaves, okay? Just do that, please. All right, anyone else? Anyone else?
I just want to praise his name today.
Amen.
I love him, and I'm so thankful
he does. Amen. Amen. Yes, Miss Judy.
Hey!
Amen. God bless you, Miss Jenny. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I want to thank the Lord for saving me and for Amen. Saving these kids around here and just humbling us
Amen.
By listening to Him.
Amen, sister.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? They start back through there. You see these Sunday school teachers grab them, hug them. That means they've been praying for them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Not the preaching, it's just folks who've been praying for them. Tuck Anders, Miss Jenny, no doubt praying for them, bringing them, carrying them to church all this time.
Yeah.
I'm sure when we get to heaven, the Lord will have a crown for them.
That's right.
Amen. All right. Anybody else today, Brother Greg?
Brother God, thank the Lord say
thank you. Amen.
Brother John, I do know. Still a lot of people get that message.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of mix we're going to suffer in.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, God knows. He knows how we're going to react.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You know, it's the public that don't know how we're going to react.
That's true.
They're
That's
watching.
True. You're right, brother.
They're watching everybody we make.
You're right. Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Amen. Anybody else?
Always amen.
Today, word prayer or praise this morning. All right, Lord bless you. We're going to have church tonight at 6, Lord willing. I'll be preaching tonight And so we invite you to come back out. We're at the Slash service before we start in Jubilee next week, so be much in prayer for Jubilee. We have a lot of the cards back there on the table, and there's plenty back there. Get you some of how many you think you'll use, and maybe you can take them to your workplace or school or your neighbor or whatever, but that's what they're for, is to get out. So just get you some and just put them wherever the Lord lets you do it, okay?
Yeah.
All right, you're free to go. God bless you.
Amen.